When you say somebody's two-faced, that's not a very nice thing to say, because when we say a person's two-faced, we mean that, like, they may say one thing to you and then they turn around and say something else to someone else. They may say something good about you to your face and then something bad about you to someone else. We realize that all of us in this room have to be very careful, because we all could do the same thing. We could all say, you know, I just think you're the greatest thing, and then you go and you say, you know, I don't even like that person. And we have to be very careful. Our tongues are capable of both the good and the bad, the building up and the tearing down. We talked about it's really 2 weeks ago, because last week we didn't get to meet, and we talked about the tongue. And it's a pretty powerful passage about watching our tongues and watching what we say and building up rather than tearing down. And tonight we're continuing our study of the book of James. We're going to be looking at the tongue, and we think about it's small but powerful, and it's dangerous and deadly. The tongue can be used for good. It can be used for bad. In fact, the thing about it that's so amazing to me is that we can use that tongue to build somebody up, and the exact same tongue we can tear that person to shreds. As we think about the book of James, we realize that this letter is very practical. There's so much in it for each of us. The letter charges us to live out our faith before the fallen world. And I put the verse up a while ago, 1:19, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. The swift to hear, of course, is to know and apply the word of God. In chapters 1 and 2, talked about being doers of the word and not just hearer only, and living out our word, our lives based on God's word before the world. And then slow to speak is chapter 3, and that is watching the tongue and watching what we say. And just to be honest with you, it's a hard passage, because it says things that cut every one of us to pieces, because we've done the things that this passage talks about. And we've done it pretty easily. In fact, we're naturals at it. And then, of course, slow to anger, which is chapters 4 and 5. And there's some great things in that as we get to that. Last time, the tongue. Let me give you a brief overview. As he started chapter 3, he said, you know, not let everybody be teachers, because teachers are held more accountable, and you have to be very careful when you teach. And then it went on to talk about dealing with others, and the tongue is small and powerful, and you know how evil it can be, and it defiles, and you can't tame the tongue. And as we continue tonight, two things stick out. We're going to look, first of all, at the tongue, and then we're going to look at wisdom. So let's just jump at chapter 3, verse 1. That's where we'll start, even though we got through verse 8 last time. Look how verse 1 again starts of chapter 3. Let not many of you become teachers, my brother, knowing that as such, we're going to be held to a stricter judgment. He basically says, if you want to be a teacher, and we're not talking about the fact that, see, all of us as believers are to take the things we've been taught and pass them on to others. He's not really talking about the discipleship aspect of just believers with each other passing on truth. He's talking about those people who are up in front, people who take positions of teaching and leadership. He says, be careful that not everybody think that they want to be a teacher, because there is a stricter judgment involved. We learn from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, that if you're going to speak, you speak the word of God. And I think that's been the downfall for a lot of people in a lot of churches, is the word of God is not what's taught. It's some other things. And so James says, or Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, that whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. Speak God's word. And so if you're going to be a teacher, you can never go wrong if you teach the Bible. Just teach the scripture. It never comes back void. It's alive and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. It always accomplishes its purpose. So you don't have to worry. Just teach the word. He then starts comparing the tongue, and he says how powerful it is. Just like a little bridle goes in the mouth of a horse and can turn it, and just like a rudder is on a ship and can turn it, even though it's a little bitty rudder compared to the ship, the tongue's little bitty in our bodies, and yet it is so powerful. He says the tongue is small, but it's like a little fire, and a little fire can start right there. Before you know it, it's spread out real big. He says the tongue is a little bitty, but before you know it, it can do things that just spread out all over us. And all of us have said things we wish we hadn't said. We wish we could take it back. And you know you can't, because brought it out about 2 weeks ago. You know that famous saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's wrong. Sticks and stones can break your bones, and you can get healed from that, and you don't even remember the pain. But the words that people say, you will remember them all of your life. And there's every one of us in this room, if I asked you to stop and think about when somebody said something bad about you, you can even think back to the third grade and you can still remember what people said or did. I mean, it's just the tongue is so powerful. It builds up and it can tear down. And it is so much easier to tear down than it is to build up. In fact, it's easier, it seems, to find the things that are wrong with people than to find the things that are right. And we talked about this several weeks ago, and that our goal would be that let's take the opportunity with us in this room and in this church that we look for the good things and we build each other up rather than tearing each other down. Because the world's going to tear us down quickly enough as it is. And it might as well be that when we're with each other that we can build each other up. Because it's easy. Every one of us in this room could look at every other one and find things that they think are wrong. So we can always cut each other down. That's no big deal. What we really want to do is build each other up. I had a professor in seminary that said this. He says, it takes little size to criticize. And I always thought that was great. It doesn't take a very big person to criticize somebody else. Well, he gave the warning last time in verses 7 and 8. He says, for every species of birds and beasts and reptiles and creatures of the sea, they're tamed and have been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, and full of deadly poison. He says, you can't tame the tongue. You can go to the zoos and you can see all these animals, and I watch they get all those, the little whale thing that jumps through, all the little animals that come out, and they make them do everything. And you go, how do they do that? They can just tame animals, but you can't tame the tongue. That's the problem. So I want to think for just a second as we move, how's the tongue? Are we building up or tearing down? We're not to use our tongue to tear down people, but to build people up. And that's really the issue. And he's going to talk about that as he flows through the passage. He's going to say, you know what's an amazing thing? Is you can use your tongue and you can be here and you can say, oh, I love Jesus. Jesus, oh, God is so great. He really took care of me today. God's the greatest thing. But boy, do I hate Joe Schmo. With your tongue, you praise God. With your tongue, you curse people. That's what he says. He says, that ought not be. How can on one hand we turn around and talk to God and say, well, we love you, and then we turn right around and the one that God created, we curse. Look what he says in verse 9. With it, with the tongue, we bless the Lord and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. He says there's a contrast on our tongues because sometimes we bless and sometimes we curse. He says, with our tongue, we bless the Lord and our Father God. I mean, we praise Him. We praise our great God and Savior. Just a while ago, we sang songs and we could talk about God. And if we could ask everybody, hey, why don't you stand up and say anything good that's God, you know, God's done for you today? And all of us stand and say, well, God took care of me here. And, oh, the Lord's so great. And He really took care of me on this and that. And then it says, with our tongues, we bless, we praise our Lord and our God and our Father. And then with our tongue, we curse people who have been made in the likeness of God. People who God made, God created them, God put them there. And on one time we turn around, we're praising the God who made them, and we're cursing what He made. That's what He's saying. How can we bless God and then curse man made in the image of God? Sometimes when we say bad things about people, we're forgetting that all people are made in the image of God. You know, there's some people who get confused and they know that we're made in the image of God in Genesis, and then there's the fall. And some people say, well, after the fall, we're not made in the image of God. No, we're still in the image of God. It may be a cracked image, but we're still in the image of God. If you look at Genesis 9:6, He says that if a person sheds the blood of another person, they shall be put to death. Why? Because they have killed someone made in the image of God. That's what it's all about. Psalm 139 talks about how we're fearfully and wonderfully made and we're formed in our mother's womb, and it is God who does that. And I think it would help us and help me in the area of the tongue that if we would just remember and look at each other as those made in the image of God, we'd probably be, it'd probably slow us down a little bit in criticizing and cutting other people down. You know, it's amazing, and you can see it starting with children and going all the way up. Especially children, they criticize the way other people look. That's their first thing. You know, four eyes, you know, this. They make up every joke you can about every human being. They cut each other to pieces. You get a little older, you're more sophisticated, but we do the same thing. And sometimes we judge people by the way they look. And sometimes we judge people by the way they talk. Sometimes we judge them by the things that they do. It would help us if we realize that these people are made in the image of God. He says, with our mouths we bless our God and Father, and then with it we curse people who are made in His image. Warren Wiersbe said about the tongue, we praise God, we teach His word, we give the salvation message with our tongue, and then we turn around and we ruin reputations, we lie, we curse, and we break people's hearts. Same tongue. The same tongue that leads someone to Christ can be the same tongue that cuts that person to shreds. With the mouth, he says, there's the blessing and the cursing. He said, these things ought not be. Verse 10 says, from the mouth, from the same mouth, comes both blessing and cursing. It's my brother, and these things ought not to be this way. There's both cursing and blessing coming out of the mouth. How is that possible? Well, the truth is, you remember that when you trust in Christ as your Savior, you were dead in trespasses and sins, and you walked according to the course of this world, you walked according to the prince of the power of the air, you walked according to the lust of the flesh, you were bent to destruction, And yet, he made you alive. But what's so incredible is you still have the flesh. You still have the bent to do wrong. So here we are with the made alive in Christ with the Holy Spirit inside of us, and at the same time the flesh, the power, the bent to do wrong. And so there we are as a new creation in Christ, and yet capable of fulfilling the lust of the flesh and allowing the tongue to rip things to shred and do things that we shouldn't. We are capable of using our mouth for both good and bad. Good being controlled by the Holy Spirit, proclaiming great things. Bad being used by the flesh and saying horrible things. He says, from the mouth, from the same mouth, comes blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? I mean, he says, let's think about it logically. Is from our mouth, those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, is from our mouth supposed to be both bad and good coming out? He says, doesn't a fountain, does it have both bad and good water coming out? The answer is no, it has one or the other, doesn't have both. Well, how about a fig tree? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? No, it produces figs. Or how about a vine produce figs? No, it produces grapes. Okay. Can salt water produce fresh water? No, he says, it just doesn't add up. That we would be made in the image of God, that we'd be created in Christ Jesus, that we'd be children of God, that we would be brothers and sisters in Christ, and out of our mouth, which blessed God, would curse each other. He says it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. We shouldn't do that. It makes no sense from the tongue that we can bless and curse. You know that famous saying that we would all be wise if we obeyed it. If you can't say something good, don't say it. It's easy to tear down. May we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. May we control our tongues, continue to mature so that we're able to control our tongues, knowing that we bless and praise God and teach His Word. And then if we're not careful, we turn right around and curse man made in His image. May we be slow to speak with our tongues. You know, the tongue is a lot like a lot of things that we have today that can be both used good and bad. You know, the television, nobody says the television is bad. The television is not bad. What comes over that television can be both bad and good. And the computers aren't bad. They can be horrible. They can be great. Movies. They can be great movies. They can be horrible movies. There's the tongue. It can be good. It can be horrible. Well, from this issue, he then moves to the whole issue, the idea of wisdom. Because he's saying, listen, you got to watch what you're saying. You got to be swift to hear and slow to speak. So if we're going to be slow to speak, let's talk about wisdom. Let's talk about living godly. And what we're going to do is just look at verses 13 and 14, and that'll finish us off. But there's a lot in that, because in verse 13 and 14, he talks about how do you show wisdom in your life. It's pretty powerful. It actually goes back to James 2. How do you show faith in your life? How do you do it? How do you show your faith? Your works. How are you going to show wisdom? By how you live. That's what he's going to say. He's going to say, we're going to be able to look at your life and tell if you're living wisely. Now, let's talk about it. There are two kinds of wisdom that the Bible talks about. There is the wisdom from above, which is God's wisdom, and wisdom from below. Our actions show whichever wisdom we're living with. If we're living in a certain way, you can tell by the way we live whether we're living in wisdom from God or wisdom from man. It's by our actions. We can tell whether we're living according to God or according to man. And so he begins with the question in verse 13, and he says, who among you is wise and understanding? Well, who? Well, he could be referring even back to verse 1, where he's been talking about people who want to be teachers, and he says, if you're going to be a teacher, you better be wise and understanding, because you're in a place of responsibility. He says, who is really wise? He's going to show that the wise person is the person who lives out his faith, doing what's right. That's what wisdom is, living according to the Scripture. Let me raise two questions for us to think about. Where do you get wisdom? How do you get wisdom? That's pretty important. If you want to, you can hold your place in James 3. And let's talk about where do you get wisdom. And if you would, go to Proverbs chapter 2. Just flip a few pages back toward the middle of your Bible to Proverbs chapter 2. And I want you to see what he says about where do you get wisdom? Where can you go to get wisdom? I think it's important. One of the things that we'd like to do is be wise people. And wisdom, of course, we're going to see. Where do we go to get it? We go to the Word of God. Look at Proverbs 2, beginning at verse 1. My son, if you will receive my sayings, and treasure my commandments within you. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your hearts to understanding. For if you will cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. He starts off by saying, look, it's important. Go for the wisdom. Count it as important. Be attentive to wisdom. Receive my sayings. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. And then he goes on to say, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, go after the wisdom. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Why? For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Where do you get wisdom from? From God. It comes from his word. He says you got to go after it. You got to listen to the commandments. You got to see what the wise principles are. Verse 10 says, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you and understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Let me tell you, you put wisdom in your heart, you put the word of God in your mind, you take the truths and the principles from God's word and live it out in your life, and it's going to protect you. He says it's going to protect you. It will deliver you from the way of evil. And that's why you want to put, that's where you go. You go to God to get the wisdom. Well, how do you get it? Listen to this. Let me give you three things. This is how you get it. Number one, it begins with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1, verse 7 talks about the fear of the Lord. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instructions. It's the fear of the Lord. It's saying, I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart and with all my soul. I'm going to go to the Word of God. I'm going to see the truths and the principles that are there. I'm going to live these truths and principles out in my life. That's wisdom. That's how you get it. You go to the Word of God. It is the basis for right and wrong, for knowing God's will, for knowing what to do. That's why the Bible talks about, put the Word of God in your mind, renewing your mind so that you may know what the will of God is, that which is good and perfect, acceptable. That's Romans 12, 2. Even the book of James tells us that if any man lacks wisdom, what do? You ask God for it. You go to the Word of God. You say, God, give me wisdom. Help me to understand the things that you want me to know. So go back to James chapter 3, and we see that where do you get wisdom? You go to God. How do you get wisdom? You fear the Lord. You go to the Word of God, and you ask for it. That's what it boils down to. It's pretty powerful. I think all of us, as believers in this world, want to have wisdom so that we can walk in wisdom in a fallen world. So that we can know how to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. So we can live in such a way that people will be drawn to Christ and not pulled away from Him. And so we want to live as wise people. We also want to live in wisdom, not so much even just in our relationship with an unbeliever, but live in wisdom in our relationship with God so that we will be growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ and we'll be doing the things that build each other up rather than tear each other down. I mean, wisdom is throughout all, especially when you read the Proverbs, it talks about the wise man does this, but the foolish man does this. You want to be a fool, do what the foolish man does. It will cost you your life. That's what he says. So as we think about James, he raises the question in verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Well, he's going to tell us who's wise and understanding. He's going to say, here's how you can see wisdom. Wisdom, it comes from their actions. It's the application of knowledge. Wisdom is knowing what to do and how to live. Now, let me give you an example of wisdom, kind of a sort of a funny thing. It said one time Henry Ford, when he had first got the mechanical line and making his cars and everything was going fine, well, there was this breakdown in one of his electrical generators, and he had to call somebody. He knew this man that was genius in as far as all these kind of problems, so he called him and he said, look, you've got to come over. My assembly line is not working, and it's got to be something with the generator. Could you come down there? Well, the guy came in there, and it's a matter of about 30 minutes, fixed the whole thing. It was going away. He shook his hand and said, thanks. He said, I'll send you a bill. Well, the bill was for $10,000. And Henry Ford had a lot of money at that time, but he was kind of a tightwad, so he wrote him back and said, wait a minute, $10,000 just for tinkering with the generator? And the guy wrote him back and said, yeah, it's $10 for tinkering and $9,990 for knowing where to tinker, you know. And so it's that idea of knowing what to do, that's wisdom. And wisdom from the Bible is knowing how to live. And knowing how to live comes from the Word of God, taking the truths and principles and live them out. He says, who's wise among you? You know who's wise? The people who live according to the Bible. That's who's wise. He says, who is wise among you and understanding? Let him Let him show you. Look, let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness and wisdom. Now, gentleness of wisdom. If you're going to say that you're wise, how do you show you're wise? He said, let him show it by his good behavior. So the bottom line goes the same back to chapter 2. You want to show people you belong to Jesus Christ? Live righteously and godly in a fallen world. You want to show people that you're wise? Then show it by your good behavior. James is a book that tells you as a believer to live out your faith. Live according to the Bible. Now, people get confused and they want to say things like, well, does that prove you're a Christian? Or how? We're not even talking about that. He never talks about that. He never even makes an assumption of whether, you know, that you're not a Christian. He assumes all the way through that he's writing to his believers, and he says, you believers, do you want to show wisdom? Then you live out a good life. You live wisely. You live out good behavior. Ron Blue, one of my professors at Dallas Seminary, said, wisdom is not measured by degrees, but by deeds. That's what wisdom is. It's right living. Wisdom is shown by lifestyle. Chuck Swindoll said the test of wisdom in a life, the test of wisdom really is a life that is patterned after the truth and is under control. Albert Barnes, great scholar at the turn of the century, said, if we're to be wise, it's got to be shown by our lives. And he was talking about James 3. James says there's two kinds of wisdom, the wisdom from above and the wisdom from below. The wisdom from above, you can tell if it's from above by the good behavior. If it's from below, what kind of behavior you think it is? It's bad behavior. So he's going to show the contrast. Look at verse 14. He says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. And then he goes on to explain, this wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is from the earth. So there's two kinds of wisdom. If you're going to be wise from God, it's got to be shown by your good behavior and gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, if you have selfish ambition in your heart, don't be arrogant and lie against the truth, because this wisdom's not from above, it's from below. Notice what he says. He says, you know what comes out of your life when you got the when you're living by the world's wisdom? It's jealousy. It's envy. It's lying. It's ambition. You know, jealousy is when you see something and you want something somebody else has. You're jealous that they have it. You don't want them to have it. Envy ties very close into that, because envy really is that you want what they have. Jealousy can be you're just upset that they have it and you don't. Ambition. Sometimes people talk about you need to be ambitious. Well, ambitious in a worldly sense is a bad thing, because that's wanting something for your own self, and it doesn't matter what anybody else wants. He says, don't be arrogant. If you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, just remember, that's not from God. That's not wisdom from above. That's wisdom from below. Don't be arrogant and lie against the truth. Don't act like, hey, I know what I'm doing. The truth is, yeah, you know what you're doing, but you're doing bad. Most of us do not want to admit when we're operating on the wisdom from below and not the wisdom from above. John Calvin said, the wisdom of this world assumes itself to be the authority and will not come under the authority of the Word of God. We have to be careful. We've seen the wisdom from above, which is seen by good behavior and gentleness. The wisdom from below is seen by our bad behavior and the strife and the envy and the jealousy. And this is what he's been saying. Which wisdom do we show in our lives? Good behavior operating by the wisdom from above, bad behavior operating by the wisdom from below. It's a powerful text, and when you look at it, we've seen that he's given this flow about the tongue and about not being teachers and being careful about how powerful the tongue is and how what comes out of our mouth. And he says, now, you want to be wise? Who really are the wise people? The wise people are the ones that show it by their good behavior, the wisdom of God. However, if it's jealousy and envy and strife, he says, that's not from above, that's from below. So what have we seen in the passage? We've seen, watch what we say. You've got to be careful. If you're going to be a teacher, you're going to be accountable, so be careful in that. The tongue is very powerful. From a negative standpoint, it defiles and destroys. From a positive standpoint, it can build up. From a negative standpoint, it can tear down. He says your tongue can bless people, and you can bless God. And on the flip side, you can curse and tear things up. He then says your lifestyle shows the wisdom that you're living by. If you're living by good behavior, that's the wisdom from above. If you're living bad behavior, that's the wisdom from below. And we've got to be careful. So, let me give you an application or two. Watch what we say. We talked about this several weeks ago, and I think it's so powerful, and that's one reason I touched back on those verses. We have to watch what we say. Proverbs 13:3 says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. I think probably all of our lives, especially guys, we've said things that got ourselves in trouble, especially when you were younger. You say things, maybe thinking you were tough, and you find out you're not that tough. But you be careful what you say. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. If you're going to be a teacher, teach the Word of God. When you deal with the tongue, realize how powerful it is. Realize that evil can come out of it, and there can be good things going out and bad things coming out. And as we said 2 weeks ago, if we could do anything, if we want to change anything about how Christians normally deal with each other, let's always look for the good. Let's build each other up. Let's if somebody, and let's try to do it. If you're with somebody and somebody begins to cut somebody down, stop them. Just stop them. Say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I like that person. Even if you don't like them, you say, I don't want to hear it. And let's be there for one another to build each other up. It is so easy, y'all. It is the Proverbs say that the gossip goes down like a morsel to our innermost being. If I said, hey, you want to hear something about Gene? You'd go, yeah, everybody wants to hear stuff. Did you hear what happened to John? What? Yeah, did you hear? No. Everybody wants to hear the gossip, the stuff, because it's the natural flesh that wants to know that. You got to combat against that. We got to stop that kind of thing. We got to be strong and think before we speak, and we got to remember that from our mouth can be bad stuff and come from our mouth can be good stuff, and let's do all that we can do to build each other up. Second application, wisdom is shown by your lifestyle. Whatever is seen is from either above or below. The results of wisdom below is disorder and evil. The results of wisdom from above is righteousness and peace and good behavior. As Ironside said, do people see the patience of Christ, the meekness of Christ, His purity, His love, and His compassion in you and in me? What comes out? What is evident in our lives? May we watch our tongues building up, not tearing down, as we live in God's wisdom, showing this by our lifestyle. Let's pray. We'll open up for any questions. Heavenly Father, we look at this passage, and it's just so hard, again, to keep thinking about the tongue and about wisdom. And Lord, we just want to be men and women who live wisely in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. And we want to live according to the Scripture, and we want to live in such a way that when people look at our lives, they see that we're living from the wisdom that is above and not from the wisdom that is below. And so, Lord, we want to do that. We want to live by Your Word. And Lord, one of the ways that it just comes out in our lives is through our tongues. We know that the tongue is so powerful. Not only is it little and small, but it's deadly, that we can tame everything but our tongue. And so, Lord, we realize that from our mouth we can bless You and curse people. These things ought not be, Lord, and we know they shouldn't. And Lord, I just pray for myself and for each one of us in this room that we will watch our tongues, that we will see people as created in Your image, that we will use our tongues that You have given us to build up and not to tear down. May we be slow to speak in all that we say, building up rather than tearing down. And may we live by the wisdom from above and not the wisdom from below. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.